Should Christians keep the commandments of God? And if they don't, what happens? That's what we're going to answer on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We really love being here with you for a few minutes a day. We're currently in a series going through the New Testament book of 1 John. It's a little book in the New Testament, but it's really important that we understand what it has to say. That's as true about today's topic as any. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this topic of keeping the commandments of God and what 1 John has to say about it. So here we go with Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in. My name is Sean Lazar, and I'm here with Dr. Bob Wilkin. And we've been going through the epistles of John. You can check out our previous recordings at faithalone.org/radio or check out Grace in Focus on iTunes, and you can catch up with us. Today, we're going to go through 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 3, and we'll see how far we go. Christian bookstores are filled with books about how to live the Christian life and all the different secrets there are, and yet so few of them actually go to the scriptures themselves for those answers. And that is why John wrote 1 John, isn't that right?
Right, yeah. He wrote 1 John so that people would know that they were in fellowship with God, 1 John 1, 3, and 4.
And so we've been going through some of those principles of Christian fellowship, and I'm going to read verses 3 to 5. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Ooh, that's strong language. Mm-hmm. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. Okay, now a lot of people might think that when John says, well, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, that John is saying something like, you know that you're born again, depending on your behavior and your obedience. They think this is a born again issue, but what would we say?
Right. Well, the problem is, if you hold that view, then ultimately what you're saying is it's impossible to be sure you're born again. Because ultimately what you would be saying is, at the moment of faith, you don't know if you believe. So the brand new Christian doesn't know if he believes or not, because if the brand new Christian can't know on the basis of faith, he has to know on the basis of something else. And if you need some level of works, let's say 6 months or a year worth of works, well, then you can't have any assurance of everlasting life for at least 6 months to a year. In fact, I wouldn't even call that assurance, because I believe assurance is certainty. And you'd never be sure, because you'd always say, well, today I think I'm doing pretty well, but I must admit I could be wrong. Maybe I'm not doing as well as I think. And on top of that, what if I fall away tomorrow?
Right. I mean, when Jesus promises everlasting life, it sure seems like you should know that you have everlasting life simply on the basis of his faithfulness to his promise.
Well, remember what Jesus says to Martha in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of resurrection. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the promise of everlasting life. And then he asks her this key question, do you believe this? And her answer wasn't, oh, Lord, I don't know. Let me check out my works and see if I really believe this.
Right.
She says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Which means that she believes that she would live and never die.
Right.
So if John isn't talking about how we can know whether or not we're born again, he's definitely saying we can know something by keeping his commandments. So what is that something?
Well, notice there's parallelism in these three verses. In verse 3, by this we know that we know him. Okay, so the issue in verse 3 is knowing him. In verse 4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Okay, there's a parallel idea. To know him is to have his love perfected or matured in me. That obviously means I've grown in the faith over time.
Okay, see, now we're trying to define, biblically, within context, what it means to know.
Exactly. And notice the end of verse 5. By this we know that we are in him. clearly that's parallel to verse 3, by this we know that we know him. So to be in him in John's usage is not the same as to be in him in Paul. To be in Christ in Paul and Christo always refers to being born again.
Right, that's our position in Christ.
Right.
But in John, it's different.
In John, he doesn't say in Christ, he says in him. And when he's referring to in him, he means that we are abiding in him. And the context, by the way, makes that crystal clear. Verse 6 couldn't be clearer.
All right, so this knowledge is, and he says it in verse 5, has the love of God been perfected in you? It's that type of knowledge. Do you know God so intimately that his love is in you, shaping you, growing in you? It's actually impacting your life.
Exactly. Don't we all know people who have walked with Christ for a long, long time, and we look at these seasoned saints, we're moved how much they love Jesus and how well they know him. That's what John is talking about. And as we're going to see later in 2:12 through 14, his readers are very mature believers, probably elders in a local church somewhere. He's talking to them about the experience of knowing God, which, as verse 6 is going to say, is the experience of abiding in him.
Okay, so what are these commandments in verse 3? What commandments does he mean? Does he mean the Ten Commandments?
Well, as we're going to see all throughout John, the primary commandment is that you love one another. There's two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And basically, this is primarily looking at loving God by loving others.
Right. So now that would make a whole lot of sense, because the test of knowing whether God's love is perfected in you is whether you're loving other people.
Yeah, it would make sense.
That would
right?
make a lot of sense. Yeah. That would be, you know, that would be a sign to you that, yeah, God's love is perfected. You're obeying Jesus's command to love other people. That love is begetting love.
But you can also see how there's some subjectivity in this. It's not absolutely objective. He doesn't say, well, here's how you know you're loving one another because you're doing this, that, and the other. He does give some examples throughout the book. But ultimately, the way we know that we know God and the way we know that his love has matured in us is over time God has changed us. Mm-hmm. And we can look back and see, I'm not the same person now I was 5, 10, 15 years ago. Or if you're a new believer, I'm not the same person I was 6 months ago or a year ago or whatever.
So in verse 4, when he says, the person who doesn't keep the commandments but says, I know him, I know God, but you're not keeping these commands of love, that person is a liar and the truth is not in him. So what does that mean, the truth is not in him?
See, that's a good point. If you go back to 1:6, 1:8, and 1:10, there's all these false statements, each of which is saying the truth is not in him, he's a liar, etc. If a person says, I know God in my experience, and yet he's a backslider, he's a liar. You have somebody, let's say that's a pastor, and this pastor says, I know God. But it's discovered that he's had an ongoing affair for the last 6 months. He's a liar.
Right.
The truth is not in him. The question isn't whether he's born again.
Right.
The point is, he is not really abiding in Christ.
Someone can claim to be spiritually mature, but their works will tell the story whether they are or not.
Exactly.
And isn't it interesting, in verse 4 and 5, he contrasts two things. On the one hand, the truth is not in him. That's the unspiritual person who's claiming to be spiritual. But in verse 5, he's saying the person who's in fellowship with God, he keeps the word. This is a word thing. You know, it's like the word isn't really in this other guy, but the word is in the person who is in fellowship with God.
Yeah, that's a very good point. His commandments in verse 3 become his word in verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's the word of God that God uses to perfect his love in us.
Right. When you're applying that Bible doctrine, that truth to your life, that's when the change occurs. You can't just understand it. You also have to believe it, but then you also have to put it into practice. God doesn't tell you to behave a certain way just for you to think about it and never to take action on it.
That's a good point, Sean. This isn't something you can do on one Sunday or one week.
Mm-hmm.
It's week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. As you hear the Word of God taught, you believe it, you apply it, then God's love is perfected in you. And so we see incremental change. Sometimes it can be rather stark change, but we see transformation in our life, Paul says in Romans 12:2, by the renewing of our minds.
That's right. Well, I think we can do one more verse. Let's do verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walks. So Christians are under an obligation, not just to believe, but to do.
This word abide, in Greek, it's the word meno, and this is a big word in the Upper Room Discourse, also called the Final Discourse in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. He talks a lot about abiding in him. And this word meno means to live, to abide, to remain. If I am abiding in Christ, I'm having fellowship with Christ, then I must share his character and nature. If he is loving, then I must be loving if I'm abiding in him. If he is kind, I must be kind if I'm abiding in him. If I'm abiding in him, and yet I am not living a Christ-like life, well, there's something wrong. That means I'm really not abiding in him. So I can say I'm abiding all I want, but the proof is in the Christ-like behavior.
There's so much good information here. We're going to have to continue this onto the next show. But can you leave us with a final thought?
It seems to me what's going on in this section is not that complicated, but this is where many commentaries today and many pastors come off the track. And this is where many people say you need to look at your life to see if you're born again. No, if you want to know if you're born again, look to Jesus. He said, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." End of story. Simple. But in terms of fellowship with Jesus, you are to look at his word and look at his commands and see if those things are being perfected in you. In that sense, then you are abiding in Christ and you do know him in your experience and you're in him in your experience.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for helping us understand what this idea of keeping the commandments is all about for Christians. I know that that probably brings a sense of assurance to your heart. I know it does to mine. If you like assurance, I think you'd like our website because it's largely devoted to that concept, that you can have salvation for free by faith alone. In fact, that's the name of the site, faithalone.org. I'd like you to come visit us, faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources and even a bookstore that I think could really help you grow. We've got a great print magazine, videos, podcasts, blog posts, event details. We do biblical conferences around the country. We would love to see you at one of those. You can find out about all of this stuff and more at faithalone.org. In fact, you might even feel led to give a tax-deductible donation to the ministry to help us continue doing what we're already doing. We would so much appreciate that. You might have questions or comments. You know, maybe today's discussion has brought some things to mind that you've never thought about before. If that's the case, I'd like you to know, first of all, that we love hearing from listeners. That's why we give out our email all the time. Here's our email. It's easy to remember. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk about what it means to walk in the light. I know that's something I want to be able to do. Can't wait to hear what Bob and Sean have to say about that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.